John Van Dam is nothing more than a figment of your imagination. Your dark, twisted, apparently very, very grumpy imagination. You should probably get some help. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I'm educational and informative.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I am both those things. I am educational, informative, and a wee bit gassy. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm one of the people to whom they refer to in the title of the show. Thanks for being here. Make yourself comfortable. This won't be easy, but it could be fun. I know what you're thinking. I do. I know what you're thinking. No, I'm not. All right. Hey, let me introduce some of the people to make this show possible. The music. Oh my God, the music. Jason Shaw composes, performs for this program, the opening, the closing theme, some of the incidental music, incidentally. And then there's John Shanahan. Yeah, the dulcet tones of that announcer. Also comedy writer, stand-up comedian, radio personality. Man, he does it all. And then there's, Nicole Reed. She's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Is she really British? I don't know. She books many of the national interviews that we do on this program because I'm incapable of doing that myself. Or I couldn't be bothered. It's one or the other. I really don't know which it is. And then there's you, involuntarily so, but you're involved in this too. It's basically your fault. Quick, what day of the week is this? Sunday? No, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. It's the day after hump day and the day before 2 days after hump day. I don't know. I'm not even sure anymore. I've wasted enough of your time with the opening theme and making silly comments. That's enough. All right, fine. I have an interesting show for you today. I really do. I'm not sure that that'll be the case, but that's pretty much what I believe at this juncture. And we'll see where it goes from here. Well, you know, the economy, doing really well. Stock market hitting the new record high. Yeah. Dow Jones through the roof. Wonderful. People investing in the stock market are making a lot of money. I don't know what they're complaining about, but making a lot of money. Nothing to complain about right now. Interest rates are starting to go down. The feds, I don't know what that means, planning at this point to cut interest rates a number of times next year. Prices on the way down. Things are becoming more affordable. Things are getting back to normal. That pandemic crap, man, that just fueled everything. I mean, nobody was manufacturing anything. And remember when the cargo was backed up and you couldn't unload the cargo from the docks and there were no product and no nothing. No manufacturing of any type anywhere in the world. Yeah, no wonder things like were pretty bad for a while. We were headed toward a recession, and now the economists are saying doesn't look like that's going to happen. Looks like we're going to be pretty good. Things are not so bad. What I'd really like to take care of are two different things. One is the politics of crap which surrounds us, where these these grade school student mentality congresspeople are just out to destroy the other party, and as a result, we just laugh at them. It's just embarrassing. It's stupid. Nothing's getting done. Come on, cut it out. I hate all of you. And then there's the wars, where mankind rears its ugly head every once in a while and says, I'm going to make it a point to destroy the earth. I'm going to take humanity and show you its nastiest, most disgusting part, and I'm going to show it to you right now. And it's happening in the Ukraine, and it's happening the Gaza Strip, and which sounds like a strip club down the street, by the way. Where are you going, to the Gaza Strip? Yeah, I think I'll go there tonight and have some fun. Well, it ain't fun. Nah, not this one. And there are other parts of the world that are also in conflict that we don't even talk about, where people are starving and horrible things are going on. Humanity didn't work out, did it? No. Did not work out. They created the human race. I don't know who did this, but they created the human race. I guess it evolved from a tadpole or something. And human race just kind of said, you know, we can't handle this. We're just going to destroy each other. Sorry. I guess we were recreated to destroy each other. That's, I guess, our purpose. Well, it shouldn't be. And smarter people could prevail, but they don't. So in that sense, it's quite sad. We're getting into the 2024 election year, which is going to be full of AI junk and accusations and destructive things and manipulation and possible destruction of the Constitution. Enjoy your next year and Happy New Year to you. And I don't know, I just, things are a little weird. Things are great, but they're horrible. Things are horrible, but they're great. You know what the answer is? And I've spoken to many people about this because there's no one else to talk to but many people. Here's the consensus. Stay away from the news. Stay away from the news. Protect your brain. I have a particular problem with this because in what I do with this radio stuff, I need to be up on everything. People actually come up to me and say, Ron, what's going on in the world? Who do you think I am? They ask me this, Ron, what's going on in the world? Because I'm supposed to know because I do the radio thing. And I am supposed to know, and I get it. But I don't want to know. I don't. I want to be a horse with blinders on it. It, the horse. I want to be able to trot down the road without having to put up with all the crap on the sides of the road near the curb where the crap is. Just get me through it. I don't need to know everything. I know there's horrible things going on all over the planet. I don't need to know about them. I don't. It's a lot for one human mind to put up with, and that includes your human mind. Create your own world, your own circle of friends of whatever, your whatever life, and live within it. Do the things that make you good. Do the things that make you whole and make you plentiful, and live within that world. And if you venture outside it and try to figure out what's going on across the globe, you're just kidding yourself. You're throwing your head up against the wall. Don't do it, man. Live in your own world. It's time. Should we retract ourselves from what's going on? No, never. You should always try to make the world better. But if you can't, then just do your stuff. Do your own stuff. Anyway. It's a general thesis of this is my general thesis for my term paper. Live in your world because you can't live in theirs. You just can't anymore. You got to make the best of yours. Surround yourself by the people that make you happy, that make you feel full. reject those that give you agita. Do you know what agita is? I can't even spell it, much less say it. Reject a world of stress. Leave it over there for the people that want to do the stress. Do what you can do. Don't do what you can't do. I have recently gotten into the world of meditation. Doesn't work, but I've gotten into it. When I feel like I'm getting a little stressed out, which is a plentiful situation these days, I lie down in a quiet room. I play some background meditation music, which in itself can be quite annoying if you choose the wrong music. And I just try to veg out, just try to clear my mind, which is not easy to do. Sometimes drugs help. No, I'm kidding. They don't help. Nothing clears your mind except for naturally clearing your mind. Otherwise, it doesn't really work. And you do, you just, you know, you find your inner peace. You have to, oh, Ron, you're getting so deep today. I know. Yeah, what the hell else is there to do? Eat, sleep, and get deep. I mean, what else is there? Yeah. Laugh, have a good time, and then get deep. I actually talk to my body. I actually do. And if someone heard me do that, they'd say, you need some mental help. I talk to my body. I lie down. I actually talk to my body mentally, telepathically, because my body and I, we're like connected in the body. So I don't really have to verbalize it. Some people verbalize things just because they're used to talking on the cell phone with, you know, the earbuds, but I don't have to do that. But what you do is you say to your body, with your eyes closed or something, you say to your body, all right, I'm going to relax my feet. Feet become relaxed. And you actually command through your brain, the command center, you command your feet to relax. And they will indeed start doing that because they listen to you. What else is there to do? There's nothing else on TV. You tell your arms to relax. And then you tell your mind to release the negativity. You tell your body to release the negativity. And you visualize the negative things actually leaving your body, actually levitating themselves out of your body into the garbage dump of life. You know, on your computer screen there, on your desktop, on your stupid little computer phones, all that stuff, they've got a little trash can, and all the stuff that you delete in files go to this trash can, and it's called the recycle bin, even though it's not just plastics. And in the recycle bin are all the files that you don't want anymore. They're delete them. I don't need them. Get them the hell out of here. And then you empty the recycle bin or whatever they call that thing. You empty it. And that's what you mentally do with your brain. You empty the stuff in your brain that you ain't using anymore. In my case, that's almost everything. I don't know how many brain cells I started with, but I don't think I'm working as many as I did earlier in my life. So I try to keep these remaining brain cells as clear and as functional as possible. So I have to empty the trash every once in a while in the recycle bin in my head. But you can do that. You see, you can visualize these things because your brain still works to some extent. You can visualize these things and actually make them occur. Try it. Give it a try. And that's, I guess, what meditation is. I'm really not sure. When I was a younger man, I went for Reiki sessions. Are you familiar with Reiki? No, it has nothing to do with getting the leaves off your lawn. Reiki is some kind of thing where you empty your body of the negativity, and that's pretty much what I'm doing here. It's spelled R-E-I-K-I. I know. There are people that will perform Reiki on you for about $100 an hour, sometimes more. And they will through their actions and being an agent for releasing your negativity, they will pass their hands over you or find various points on your body that will release these negativities. Ron, you're sounding a little strange to us here. No, not necessarily. No, give it a try. Give it a shot. Set up a relationship with your body. You know, when you're in pain, your body is trying to tell you that something's wrong inside there. It's giving you signals like, oh, my foot hurts. There's something wrong with my foot. That's your body telling you stuff. It's shouting out loud at you, but you're so stupid you don't even understand what your body's saying. And you cover it up with these drugs and all these other things and ice packs, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But there's another way to combat this, and that's to listen to your body and take some time and sit on the side and relate with your body and take care of it through your brain, because you've got a series of nerves that run through your body, usually the ones that cause you backaches and migraine headaches, but you might be able to control them otherwise. Now, not in every case. Obviously, there are conditions that are actually physical conditions that need some help, but for the most part, you can do a lot with your own body. I learned that when I was 13. Get it? With your own body, 13 is masturbation, is what I was talking about. But that's a joke. But at the same time, taking care of business, you know what I'm saying? Right? Yeah, that's what you were doing, taking care of business. Body said, hey, I got this thing going. I really want to release something here. Okay, I can help you out. Yeah, that happens. That happens. It happens at a lot of ages, by the way. Ask Ernest Borgnine. Did I ever tell you the story about Ernest Borgnine? Oh, because I'm finished talking about relating to your body now. I'm going to move to another area. Ernest Borgnine was an actor from the earlier days, well before you were born at this point. He has since, of course, passed. Otherwise, he'd be like 500 years old or something. But Ernest Borgnine, an actor, an attractive man at all. You can Google him. Don't do it while I'm talking because that's rude. Not an attractive man at all. Kind of looked like a overgrown pig, but a great actor and played all these character roles. He was a guest on a television show, Fox and Friends, which is the epitome of political crap. But nonetheless, he was a guest on the show. Ernest at that point was in an elderly state. And he was there. It was a live show. It was live in the mornings, and he was live, and there was nothing you could do about anything that happened, which is the beauty of live television. So he's sitting there. He's on the talk set with these talk show hosts, and he's wearing a wireless microphone, and that's what you do when you're on these shows. They have a little microphone that they hook up to you. And you don't hold the microphone anymore. You know, it's, you're wired for sound. So when Ernest started whispering something in order to answer a question by one of the hosts because he was embarrassed by it, his microphone picked it all up. So it wasn't a quiet little comment that he was making. I'm going to play it for you now. It's a gem. This is Ernest Borgnine talking about the secret to old age on the Fox and Friends talk show that was live. Here it is.
To the show, but real quickly, you're 91 years old. You look fantastic. You look like you're in your late 60s, early 70s. What's the secret?
I don't dare tell you.
No meat. You don't eat meat.
I masturbate a lot.
Okay, I think... thank you, Ernie. That was great.
I actually heard that.
Have you ever been on YouTube before?
Listen. Yesterday...
What are you talking about? I love this guy.
Okay, we're going to take a quick time out. He'll be in the After the Show show. Log on to foxandfriends.com. I just shook his hand!
Hey. This is former heavyweight contender Bobby Marone, but I hung up my boxing gloves to open the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's called Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots, yeah, right. Hey, this holiday season, we got a special treat for the whole family. Come on down and enjoy a great Italian feast. Then get your picture taken with the Easter Bunny.
That's Santa Claus, Bubby.
Yeah, Santa Claus. That's right. Enjoy our famous 1-2 punch pasta or our 7-layer left-right lasagna. Then stop in and say hi to jolly St. Patrick.
St. Nick.
That guy. And you never know, if you're a good little boy or girl, Jesus just might have a special gift for you.
Again, Bobby, that would be Santa.
Him too. So make your reservation now and bring the whole family out for a great dinner and have your picture taken with our holiday season special guest, Satan.
Wow. Santa.
Santa. And you can come even if you're Jewish.
I'm pretty sure we can't say that legally.
Well, I don't want them to feel left out. It's not like those guys have a Hanukkah clause.
And we are so done here.
Happy holidays from Headshots. Open 7 days a week at the corner of Flange on Hassenpfeffer.
Alyssa O'Grady is the Vice President of Clinical Research of the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research, and Alan Dance is here. He's a person living with Parkinson's disease. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Well, most people are familiar with Parkinson's disease. It's a neurodegenerative disease, as most people know. How many people are actually affected by this?
There are about 1 million people in the United States living with Parkinson's disease.
Yes, certainly. Let's talk about the fact that from my notes here that this is a disease that is on the rise. Why would that be all of a sudden?
That's right. So one of the risk factors associated with Parkinson's disease is aging. So with our aging population, the prevalence of Parkinson's disease is on the rise.
Okay. Is this a do the nerves degenerate with age anyway, or is this a specific disease for specific reasons?
There's some loss of the specific cell type associated with Parkinson's disease over time in all people as part of healthy aging.
Right.
But people who have Parkinson's and go on to show the symptoms of Parkinson's have an accelerated loss of those cells.
Okay. Now, Michael J. Fox, who founded the foundation in his name for research, he had this the onslaught at quite an early age, I understand.
That's right. Michael was diagnosed, I believe, at the age of 29 with an early onset case of Parkinson's disease.
Okay. And does that make it different than Parkinson's disease, which develops through aging?
We say that if you've met one person with Parkinson's disease, then you've met one person with Parkinson's disease. And we have that phrase because it really does present differently in every single person.
Uh-huh.
And that's why research is needed to understand more about how Parkinson's starts and changes over time.
Right. Now, Alan's joining us. Alan, you live with Parkinson's disease, I understand.
You know, I actually don't have a Parkinson's diagnosis yet, but I have some of the risk factors sufficient to know that with a high probability I will develop Parkinson's in the future.
Now, knowing this and knowing the risk factors that you may be recognizing, are there things that you can do in order to lessen or slow that possibility?
Absolutely, and I look to do those if I can. Exercise is actually one of the things that's been documented to do it, and not just exercise, but vigorous exercise. So people who exercise delay the onset compared to people who don't, and then people who vigorously exercise more frequently defer the onset of Parkinson's symptoms even more, as well as good brain health things, getting a good night of sleep and things like that. Actually are things which will help me defer the onset of Parkinson's disease.
Okay. Alyssa, is the disease generate through the brain's ability to control the nerves, or are they the nerves themselves that would cause this?
We're learning more about exactly what causes the onset of Parkinson's mm-hmm. disease through studies like the Foundation's major study, the Parkinson's Progression Markers Initiative, right. or PPMI for short. Through this study, we're looking to enroll people with risk factors for Parkinson's, right. people like Alan, folks who have changes to their sleep patterns, right. and folks who have a loss of sense of smell. Mm-hmm. We need this information to understand more exactly how the disease starts and what processes happen in the brain that cause it.
So this is not necessarily inherited, Alan, anybody in your family, your past family that had this situation?
You know, in my case, no one in my family had a Parkinson's diagnosis, mm-hmm. though I now look back at my father and see some of the things that perhaps he did and it went undiagnosed.
I see.
It's not something which everyone will catch. Like my primary care physician had never heard of REM sleep behavior disorder, mm-hmm. which is a major risk factor that I exhibit. And so if I had talked to her about it, she would not have known that this is a risk factor, that this is a thing, REM sleep behavior disorder, and it's a risk factor for Parkinson's.
Okay. Sounds like a lot of people these days with stress might have that disorder. I guess some things are hard to diagnose at times, I assume. Yeah, go on.
They definitely can be, and there are other things to be aware of. You know, a poor sense of smell mm-hmm. is another major risk factor, COVID. And that's something which I've had for over 30 years, but I've never connected that could be a risk factor for Parkinson's.
Interesting. Well, Alan, I'm glad that you're being watched and monitored, and so that you can avoid that. I'll say to the both of you, you mentioned that when you age, this becomes a risk factor. But then, Alan, you mentioned exercise is one of the major ways to slow it down or to combat it. And I'm thinking about all the kids of this generation that don't move around at all. They sit in chairs. They have foods delivered to them. Their jobs are sitting in chairs for 8 hours straight looking at screens. And I'm concerned that that's a risk factor for them in their future. Is that accurate?
We definitely want to be out here spreading the word about all of the ways to mm-hmm. keep your brain healthy as you age, and that starts from when you are younger.
Yes,
you
yes.
want to instill these habits of yeah. movement, of eating well, of training your brain.
Right.
So Alan and I are glad to be out here spreading that message.
Okay. A good response to a strange, difficult question. Okay. All right. What can people do if they think there may be symptoms or they want to read up on this a little bit more because they might be concerned? Where should they go? What should they do?
You can learn more and get involved with the PPMI study by visiting michaeljfox.org/get-started.
And I understand that there are some, through the research, there are some medications that actually have become effective so that people can lead lives that are acceptable.
That's right. There are several treatments on the market that help folks deal with the symptoms of Parkinson's mm-hmm. disease, and it is definitely very possible to live well with the symptoms of Parkinson's for many years.
Right. Yet not the case in prior generations. So that's what research does, and people like Alan helping out in that sense. That's where that gets us. A better
That's
situation.
Right. And
all
we always
the time.
Need more volunteers.
Excellent. Okay, one more time, that place to go.
MichaelJFox.org/get-started.
Excellent. Alyssa, thank you so much. Alan, thank you so much. Continued success, and thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Ron.
Take care. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until then, I wish you peace.